Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
Judge hits a high fly ball into deep left field. This ball is all the way back and gone.
Swarmer's ready. Here comes the payoff pitch to Rizzo. He swings, hits one in the air. Deep right field. The high arcer that is long gone. Anthony Rizzo's first hit against the Cubs since the trade. A home run to right. Yankees up 6-0 here in the fifth inning.
We really should slap a 20 on someone for that extra work. Here's a bouncer to short, one hop. Kiner Falefa throws to first, dug out by Rizzo. Ball game is over, and the Yankees have beaten the Cubs by a score of 8-0.
Not that deep. Into left, and AJ can't make the catch. One run home. Throw to the plate is not in time. Two more for Texas. That's an 11 spot for the Rangers. Abreu in the air, short center field. Garcia makes the catch, and the Rangers have won in extra innings by the score of 11-9.
Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
Welcome, everybody. It is Sunday. We got a full slate of Major League Baseball games. Welcome to 670 The Score. Welcome to one of the longest-running baseball shows in Chicago, Hit and Run. I'm Cody Decker, guest hosting for Matt Spiegel today. And with me, making me sound way better than I probably deserve, my man Sean Sears. Sean, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to host Hit and Run with you, dude. Or I guess I'm producing, you're hosting.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's how this would be working.
I guess
working.
That's how things work, right?
3 full hours of me and you talking baseball. Hyper-focused here, of course, on Chicago, but I got to just point out, how much do we really want to talk about Chicago baseball at the moment? Because South Side disaster, North Side disaster. South Side, I'd argue, is a bigger disaster than the North Side for obvious reasons. We will talk about that as the show goes on, of course. We have amazing guests today. I'm really excited to have them. My co-host on Big Time Baseball and Odyssey Sports, the legendary John Heyman, will be joining me in hour two. Hour three, Chicago's own Russell Dorsey joining me. We're going to be talking a little bit about his new show, The Rally, on Bally Sports, not to mention talk a little Cubs and White Sox and everything else throughout Major League Baseball. And of course, in the first hour, in the next segment, in fact, we got White Sox pitcher Lucas Giolito joining us. I'm looking very forward to talking with Lucas. I've known Lucas a long, long, long time. He had a good outing yesterday for himself. You know, he got into the fifth, and he's been having some trouble in the fifth innings. I'm going to talk to him about that. I'm going to talk to him about his mechanical adjustments. I'm going to talk to him about what a team needs to do when they get in these situations. Because, hey, being a former professional baseball player myself, I have been in plenty of situations where a team with high expectations, not living up to expectations. But here's the good news about the White Sox. And this is something I think we all need to pay attention to. And Sean, this is something I'm sure you've heard in Chicago ad nauseum. And I'm pretty sure when you hear these things, it probably drives you guys nuts, especially if you're a White Sox fan and you see the team not playing well. I get why this will drive you nuts, but you just got to focus on it and stay hyper-focused on it. The White Sox have the easiest schedule in baseball the second half of the season. They really do. Their front half of the year is loaded with superstar teams. Let's be real clear. For the last couple of weeks, it was like, okay, you know, now the White Sox can breathe because now they're not playing at home anymore against the Twins. Now they're going to play an easier series in the Bronx against the Yankees, who haven't lost in 2 years. Okay, they don't get to breathe this series. Okay, don't worry. They're going to go back home. Home series, it's fine. They just have the Los Angeles Dodgers coming in. Oh my God. It's like one after another, but finally we're going to get some series against the Royals, get some series against the Tigers, finally get some series against maybe the Orioles, we can fit them in. Finally we can get some favorable series towards the White Sox, but that's not an excuse for what's been taking place, obviously. This team should be winning. This team should be dominating, in my opinion. It's an all-star team, really is. But I'm looking forward to having Lucas on. I'm looking forward to having John Heyman on. And, of course, Russell Dorsey as well. Lots to talk about today. Hey, Cubs also played yesterday. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Cubbies. Sean, you're a Cubs fan. You're a diehard Cubs fan. How you feeling?
Man, I had a feeling Matt Schwarmer was going to stop looking like, you know, maybe a piece and maybe look like a guy that probably only throws two pitches against the Yankees. And he did that. Gave up 6 home runs. So
yeah, yeah. You know what the worst part was? It's not that he was pitching like terrible. And by the way, every home run he gave up, what, each one was like a solo shot.
This is just a solo.
This Yankee team is just so scary. Yeah, it's funny about this Yankee team, because the Yankee team that's currently being run out there, it's like the same team. It's been out there for 3 years. And we've expected this team to do this for like 3 to 4 years. And then since they never did turn out to be this juggernaut team in the past years, we're all acting surprised. 3 years ago, we were terrified of this team. We were calling the Yankees like, oh my God, it's the Yankees from the 90s again. Remember when they traded for Stanton? Everyone was up in arms like, oh, Yankees buying championships again.
Yeah, like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, Stanton keeps getting hurt, and now everyone's like, well, see, the Yankees can't get anything together. They're the worst. Can you believe they spent all this money? It's just like, there is no winning when you spend money as a team. Can you imagine? I'm just being devil's advocate here, because you're a Cubs fan. You're a diehard Cubs fan. We know the Cubs have money. The Cubs have always had money. Hell, their intellectual property is probably the third highest grossing intellectual property in Major League Baseball, probably just behind the Dodgers and the Yankees. And it's probably very, very close. Like, oh, very close.
For sure. I mean, the Cubs literally just started breaking ground. I mean, not breaking ground, but started putting up the beams for their new sports booking complex that's going to be attached to Wrigley Field this weekend.
Let's be real clear. Cubs. Tons of money.
Yeah. Biblical losses, but lots of money.
Yes. Now, think about this. If the Cubs spent Yankees money, say they spent Yankees money a couple years ago. Say the Cubs and the Yankees right now are the exact same team. And 3 years ago, you got your hands on Stanton, and Stanton kept getting hurt. Tell me right now, every single phone caller into 670 The Score wouldn't be yelling, ah, yeah, we got Stanton, but man, we're paying all this money to do nothing. Man, this team can't get him out of its own way. This is what it is on WFAN every single morning about the Yankees, and I can't stress enough, the Yankees have, what, 100 wins already this year?
Something like that, right? Round up, I guess.
I don't know. It's like the Yankee fans have a special arrogance to them, and I appreciate this arrogance. This is not a knock on Yankee fans. This is honest to God, like a true and utter, like, I believe that this is a good thing. Their amount of delusion is so high that every Yankee fan thinks they are on the Yankees and that they deserve the rings that the Yankees win. And I love that about them because it's just so off the charts delusional that I don't know what to do with myself. I'm almost thrilled the Cubs are not similar to the White Sox. Not the White Sox, I'm sorry. It's almost thrilled they're not similar to the Yankees because I don't think I can handle Cubs fans being that arrogant. I love Cubs fans being the way they are. Cubs fans are probably the best fans of baseball, in my opinion. As someone that's played throughout the country, that's seen, I will tell you this, the two best fan bases in baseball, and this is, you guys are gonna love me for maybe 10 seconds, because you're gonna hate me right after I say Cubs, because Cubs are on the top two list. You're gonna hate this. You know what the other team is. The Cardinals. They love their team.
I knew you were
so
gonna say that. Ugh.
We know we don't wanna hear it, but I played in a double A game in Springfield in 2010.
Okay.
Okay. This was the first time I played at a double A field that had two stories for fans, you know, like a second deck.
And this that
place,
doesn't happen.
Yeah. And this place was packed. And it was packed because they had a rehabbing player from the big league team. Now, here's the thing. The rehabbing player from the big league team was no one of note. It wasn't Albert in town. It wasn't Adam Wainwright coming in. Molina wasn't rehabbing an ankle thing. It was maybe a sixth outfielder that was on the team.
Some
3 years
Skip Schumacher
early.
Stuff.
Not even Skip. Oh, my God. If Skip Schumacher would have been a Hall of Famer roaming the streets of Springfield. This was like F.P. Santangelo level of ball player. And that's not that F.P. Santangelo wasn't a great ball player.
Right.
He was.
Right.
It's just, who's sitting around going like, did you hear F.P. Santangelo's in town? No. No one said that.
He's coming, guys. Let's get your tickets now. Come on.
Yeah. No one's ever been like, oh, my God, F.P. Santangelo. We got to get the Springfield guys. This guy came to the plate, and it was a standing ovation. He had to step out of the box and tip his cap.
Get out of here. What?
The guy had maybe an at-bat in a World Series 3 years ago. And I'm sitting here going, like, these fans are crazy. Like, I don't even know the guy.
Yeah.
So I know we don't like the Cardinals. Trust me, I can't stand the Cardinals. Every time it's October and I see the Cardinals in October, a part of me dies. I don't know why that is. I've never understood why I've had this guttural reaction to the Cardinals my whole life. But my God, how are they giving FP? Again, it wasn't FP Santangelo, but he's a perfect...
The placeholder for that guy,
it's the if you know how everyone talks about war, wins above replacement, but who's the replacement player? This is, in this scenario, in this perfect analogy, FP Santangelo is my replacement player.
That's amazing. I was actually at Caleb Killian's debut last week, and I was there. Spiegs was there as well, too. We were taking in the game, and I got tickets sitting next to a Cardinals fan who, nice guy, but I happened to make the mistake. I acknowledge that, like, there's a Blake Norman or someone, Blake Gorman, something like that. Went and hit a double, scored 3 runs off of Caleb Killian, and I was saying, like, yeah, that guy's good. And I then proceeded to be told by this Cardinals fan how great Norman is and how he plays every position and how, you know, the Cardinals come up with these guys every year. And it's like, yes, I'm aware. I watch the Cubs, and I see them kick my team's butt all the time.
Yeah, we get it. We don't like you.
Yeah, I don't enjoy these players. Tommy Edman, bane of my existence. Come on.
Oh, my God. Even like someone like Bader. Like, God, stop doing things right. I can't. God, stop it.
Diving to make catches, beating out infield hits. It's just like this guy, this team.
These guys are they annoy me. I honestly can't decide who annoys me more, the Brewers or the Cardinals. Here's the difference. I never got fired by the Cardinals, so the Brewers are higher on my list of on the teams I do not like. But
that's
yeah.
fair.
But man, I want the Cubs to win so bad. It's just this team, it's not even that they're not winning. I just feel like they're it's not competition. I don't feel like they're competing.
No, I agree.
And that's the problem. That's why I'm mad.
And they've done this, and we don't really know exactly. This is a rebuild, retool. The build mm-hmm. is what we've heard it called. You know, it's tough to figure out. And then like you like DFA a guy like Clint Frazier, who's like probably not going to impact this roster much this year or in the future. But you know, why sign a guy if you're not going to play him over Jason Hayward? You know?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in that. You know what? Not disappointed because I didn't sit here and think that Clint Frazier was going to be the future of the franchise. You know, he's another ball player. It's just we know Hayward isn't.
Right.
So
exactly.
I'm a little confused. I keep forgetting Hayward's still on the team, and I don't want to. I'm definitely not bashing on Hayward. Hayward's done great things in his career, but it's just more like
been totally super valuable to the team. But obviously, you know, it's time to move on.
Well, I mean, how valuable? Because I have heard more stories about this speech during a rain delay than I'll ever know what to do with. And I'm not even currently in Chicago. Like, I'm like walking down the street. Hey, did you hear that time Hayward did this? I'm like, okay. It's cool. And I think Jason Hayward's a talent, but that was 2016.
Right.
I was playing for the Royals in 2016.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Since 2016... And playing for the Royals, I had played for not only 7 other organizations, I have been retired for nearly 4 years. Like, I can't stress enough, Jason Hayward's been on the North Side forever. I have a feeling at some point, remember that commercial when they pulled Andre Dawson out of the Ivy? That's going to be Jason Hayward one day.
Yeah, that's I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
He's going to be on this team in 2033. Guys, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, White Sox pitcher Lucas Giolito, we're going to chat with him right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Strike 3, another slider, and the 5th strikeout for Giolito.
Well, odds were overwhelming. You're not going to be able to double up White, so the next best thing is to strike him out, leaving only one out left to get. Good over-the-top breaking ball, and that one had a great deal of depth to it. It is the slider, and the newest innovation of these sliders, they're trying to get more depth. They look like fast curveballs. They're actually sliders. Pitchers can control them better than they can the big curveball, and that's why Lucas leans on that one.
I mean, I give him credit. He had a very stressful first and second inning and a stressful fifth, so that's all he had for us. He left with the lead, and, guys, if everybody was trying, all the hitters were trying, we got beat.
Welcome back to Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Cody Decker in for Matt Spiegel here for 3 hours of baseball talk here on 670 The Score. And of course, we got so much more to talk about. We're going to be talking about the White Sox, talking about the Cubs. Of course, this is also one of the longest running baseball shows in Chicago. Thank you so much for joining me. And guys, already teased it at the beginning of the show and teased it right before the break. Joining me right now, we just heard about his outing yesterday, with Tony La Russa's words about his outing. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Lucas Giolito, starting pitcher for the Chicago White Sox. How you doing, Lucas?
What's up, Cody?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream, man. I'm here on 670 The Score talking to my old friend from Santa Monica, California.
Yes, sir.
Born and raised. Oh, man. Well, Lucas, you had yourself an outing yesterday. First 4 innings kind of went well. You heard that quote from your manager yesterday. First 2 innings got in a little bit of trouble but got out of it. Well, first things first, how's your body feeling? You know, you had an IL stint earlier this year. How's everything been feeling going forward out of that IL stint?
My body feels fine. Just grinding along just like any other player. You know how it is.
Oh, very, very well. And you know how it goes in those things, you know, those first 4 innings, you know, mowing down guys, getting out of those first 2 tough innings. But then you came into the 5th. How is your body feeling, or not even necessarily body feeling? What's going on, you think, in the 5th inning mechanically, or what do you think is taking place that's just, it's almost not necessarily like you're hitting a wall or anything, but something seems to be changing a little bit when you get to a certain pitch count as of late. It's not a normal thing for you. What are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm like not exactly in the best place right now. I've kind of out of sync mechanically over the last like 3 or 4 starts, to be honest. So, you know, there's some work to be done here, adjustments to be made. Really haven't been pitching well. Like I'm not proud of what I've been doing the last couple weeks here. So, got to pick it up.
Well, if there's one guy that could do it, Lucas, I mean, I've known you since you were a kid, knowing full well, and I love the fact that you take responsibility for it, but I think you've been pitching a lot better than you give yourself credit for, that's for sure. But in that situation, you got Ethan Katz, your pitching coach you've had for a long, long time. You got two good catchers over there on the south side. When you're doing this, what do you get with Ethan? Is it more mechanical? Is it more physical rather than any type of mental conditioning, or is it getting with your catchers and getting on the same page with them as well?
It's kind of all of the above. With Ethan, he has a good eye for the mechanical stuff. I'm definitely not like getting behind my fastball the way I should. So makes it a little bit harder to command, and it's not like zipping out as well as it should be. So we'll probably have some drills and things for that. And then kind of on like the pitching side, getting with Ethan, getting with the catchers, figuring out like, okay, am I getting into any certain patterns? I've definitely been using the slider a lot more. So, you know, do we kind of stay on that? Do we, you know, start to change up sequencing, locations, you know, all of it.
And you mentioned all of the above, and I love that you mentioned that, because fans like to point out, like, oh, he's doing this, and any type of respect in the game. You know, it's very easy to take it down to one thing. But you mentioned all of the above. When you're facing a team like, you know, facing a team like yesterday, how much of it is just the scouting report? How much of it is more executing your plan and what you want to accomplish? Would you give it like a percentage of 50-50, or is it more staying within your game like 70% and 30% of what they're bringing to the table?
I think it varies based on kind of like you go through the lineup for the first time, you kind of get a read for what the other team's approach is, and then you can adjust from there. But generally, the way that I approach pitching and kind of my stuff and how I like to go about it is probably like an 80-20. I know I'm going to do well if I execute my pitches to the locations I want to get them to. Those locations may vary hitter to hitter, obviously. I'm not just like cookie cutter trying to do the same thing to everybody, but in general, for me, you know, it's the high fastball, the low changeup, down away slider. You know, it's not too complicated. It's just a matter of getting it done, and you know, that's what I gotta do a better job of.
You know, you mentioned getting behind your fastball a little bit, and I'm glad you actually mentioned that, because being someone that is not only talking about the game and, you know, borderline, I wouldn't say freshly out of the game. I retired, 3.5 years ago? But, you know, when I was leaving the game, velocity, 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 everything was velocity. And you talk about getting behind your fastball more, but you've been pitching off of your slider a tad more. Is a game shift kind of starting to take place, maybe away from velocity? You know, baseball goes in trends. It could be velocity, then it's more off speed and spin rate, more location based. Do you see baseball getting away from that velocity based trend for pitchers, or is that going to be something you think that's just going to be a benchmark no matter what going forward?
No, I think that's going to be the number one benchmark no matter what. That's just the way it is. When you throw harder, you know, you can look at all the data in the world. Harder throwers can get away with a little bit more. So anytime, you know, amateur, like a kid throwing upper 90s in high school or college, like he's going to get an opportunity. And teams are always going to push for the guys that are throwing really, really hard to develop and get to the big leagues. You know, you look at any big bullpen in the big leagues, like most of those guys are blowing 95 plus. And so there's other things to it that are a little bit more like low key. You know, I'm talking sink, ride, cut, run, all that kind of stuff can play a huge factor as well. I mean, you can see a guy throwing low 90s and getting a bunch of swings and misses because they're fastball rides. But generally, I think velocity is always going to be that big benchmark. And then, you know, having like a good wipeout breaking ball off of that is kind of number two, or changeup.
Yeah, and well, you do have both of those, your changeup. I remember I was talking to a member of a front office. He was calling me, and it must have been 3 years ago, and he immediately called me during spring training saying, hey, have you talked to Lucas? I said, yeah, about a week ago. And he's like, what did he do with his changeup? I said, what do you mean? He's like, dude, his changeup, it might be the best in the game. And I'm laughing, and he started sending me video, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he did something with his changeup. It's quite staggering. And everyone was blown away by it, and then you started having the success you had. And I'm glad you mentioned that with speed, because, you know, as someone that also works with a lot of youth guys, it's hard to explain to people that, hey, yeah, you need to throw harder, but it's not just that you need to throw harder. I mean, there's just so much more to it. But like you said, that initial benchmark of velocity is just something hard to get away from. You get away with so much more with just velocity. 100 miles per hour, no matter where it's going, and you know where it's going, is hard to hit.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest I've ever faced was, like, I think last year I saw some 95s when I was in the box before, you know, we weren't allowed to hit anymore. And, I mean, I couldn't even see the damn thing. Like, I don't even know how I don't know how anyone hits 95 plus.
It's hard. How about this? Sean is currently producing this right now. I have faced Lucas Giolito before a couple of times. Lucas was with the Nationals at the time. Where was this? Oh, I know exactly where this was that I faced you, Lucas. It was in Portland, Maine. I had just signed with the Red Sox. I had to go slum it down in Double A, and I remember facing you going like, oh my God, I swear to God, if Lucas Giolito, who I used to give hitting lessons to as when he was a kid, strikes me out today, I have to retire. I have to quit. And I don't think you K'd me. I think you got me to ground out, and I think I worked a walk. But, man, you're not lying, man. Facing Lucas Giolito is not my favorite thing in the world. And there was that added pressure that I swear to God, if he K's me, I have to shut it down no matter what. You mentioned, hey, listen, it's obvious. The team's going through a bit of a skid right now. You're one of those leaders. You're one of those vocal clubhouse leaders. You're one of those leaders out in the public, and I always commend you for it. And, you know, even talking about where you are as a player at the moment, you don't feel like you're living up to your own expectations. This team, you know, it's an all-star team. It's an unbelievably good team, but they're going through a little bit of a problem. How do you guys stay with each other, ignore a lot of the distractions of, say, people like me that are saying the negative things that can obviously leak into a clubhouse? How do you guys, you know, weather that storm, move forward, and get to the next game day after day?
Honestly, it's just kind of putting the blinders on and separating. You know, for me, like at the end of the day, we're going through a tough time, but you know, baseball's not everything. You know, I think a huge thing is being able to kind of, all right, had a rough day, go home, you know, call my wife, you know, kind of get away from it, reset, come back the next day. I think there's a lot of that is very necessary, because if you just think about it all the time and stress over, you know, struggles, whether it be individual or team struggles, you're just going to like work yourself into the ground, and not necessarily in a good way. It, you know, overanalyzing, overthinking, panicking, those kind of things that you need to avoid when you're not playing your best. So it's just being able to separate. And then, you know, when we come to the field, it's like a fresh day every day, and the goal is to win that day. And so that's all we can really control. I know that, you know, like I said, I'm not going through the best stretch right now. A couple other guys on the team not going through the best stretch right now. But there's a lot of season left, and we just got to take it one day at a time here. Kind of put the blinders on and ignore the rest.
Lucas, I love it. I absolutely love it. And yeah, you got to do it. And like you said, it's hard to do, putting those blinders on. It's hard to ignore. Hell, I played on a team in 2015, the San Diego Padres, which was getting a lot of negative attention for the exact same reasons, only we were way, way worse off because, I mean, let's be real clear, we were 30 games back of the Los Angeles Dodgers at the time, obviously. So I love that. I love that you guys are going to stay together. I think you guys have a very favorable schedule going forward. I believe in this White Sox team, and I cannot wait to see what you guys bring to the table going forward. Before we get ready, Lucas, real quick, your brother graduating from his acting school in Wales. Does he have too much height to make it in the film industry, and does he need to stay on the stage? Lucas, what say you?
Well, he's grinding right now.
Yep.
I think that, well, you know, just like any young actor, it's a test, it's a grind. But I think it's necessary. He kind of, you know, puts hair on your chest. But no, he's very, very talented. You know that.
Absolutely. I've seen him in multiple plays. He's exceedingly talented.
Yeah. And obviously, he's comfortable on stage, and I think that's something that he could do, but I know that his dreams and aspirations are TV and especially film. I'd say the one knock against him is his height. He's almost my height, and you don't see too many tall actors. But at the same time, there's been some very successful tall actors. So yeah, we'll see. He's just gotta. Keep chugging along. I mean, he's had some cool opportunities so far, audition wise and, you know, meeting a lot of people. So much of it is, networking and, you know, just kind of getting to know a lot of people, putting your name out there. He's just getting started.
I got to tell you, Lucas Giolito, in case you guys don't know this, if you've never been around Lucas in person, TV does not do it justice. He's one of the tallest human beings. He's got a wingspan of like 19 people, and his brother's exactly the same way. My reasoning for bringing that up is the second coming of Vince Vaughn is Lucas Giolito's brother. He's going to be all over Hollywood. Enjoy that, ladies. But Lucas, dude, thank you so much for joining me on 670 The Score. Thank you for talking. Dude, on a personal note, you're my favorite baseball player. You've been my favorite baseball player since you were 10, and you will continue to be my favorite baseball player. I look forward to the rest of the season, Lucas, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Cody. All love, man.
You're the man, brother. All right, guys, that was the one and only Lucas Giolito. Starting pitcher, ace of the Chicago White Sox, and I mean this from the very bottom of my heart, one of the most genuinely great people in the game, thoughtful, caring, truly cares about his teammates, truly cares about this team, truly cares about this city and community. And like you said, like I've already brought up, a guy who is not skirting any type of blame. You can hear it in his voice. He wears a lot of this on his head. He puts a lot of it on his own shoulders, and it's not on his shoulders. He's just a phenomenal player and a phenomenal teammate and a phenomenal guy. And that's something I do want to focus on going forward. I know we talk about when things are negative in baseball and teams that with first things first, these are people. We're all people. I know they're athletes. I know we want them to be like video games, but they're not. They have the same struggles we have. They have the same marital struggles you have. They have the same problems with their kids getting sent to Sunday school that you have. This is, yeah, do they get paid a lot more? Do they get a lot more scrutiny because they're, you know, they got to listen to morons like me on the radio talk about them being bad? Yeah. But they are people first, and that is something that I do think we forget about baseball players and forget about athletes in general. Guys, we're going to take a quick little break. Sean, do we need to take a quick little break?
Yes, well, sir. Let's take a break.
We're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, don't worry. We're going to be plenty negative. We're going to be plenty negative here on this show on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. But I did think we needed to have a little bit of positivity right there. Guys, we'll be right back here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Then the Rangers added 1 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, and now 2 here in the 10th. And they have a lead late.
Getting ugly. It's getting ugly out there. When you hear Fire Tony chants at a stadium, it is getting ugly. Welcome to 670 The Score. You're listening to Hit and Run. Cody Decker sitting in for Matt Spiegel today. We are still in hour one of our 3 hours. We just finished interviewing Lucas Giolito of the Chicago White Sox. Talked about the team's struggles, talked about his struggles, and of course, what he's looking to do going forward. This is a team, by the way, that does have a very favorable schedule going forward. And I even hear me saying it, and I know you're sitting there driving your car, or you're getting out of bed listening to me, hearing me say these words, going like, oh my God, I'm so tired of hearing that they have a favorable schedule in the second half. I get it. It even sounds like an excuse when I say it. I hear me saying it going like, dude, really? How many times are you going to say that until you believe it? I do believe it, but come on. This team does need to get it together. And yeah, the Fire Tony chance. And I get it. I totally get it. Hell, I was on this station, 4 days ago talking about it. Do I think something needs to change? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the fact that something hasn't changed, I do think is also a little concerning as well. Now, when everyone's sitting here chanting Fire Tony and saying, well, obviously if they fire Tony La Russa, that's going to change everything. That's not necessarily true. Look at the Angels. If that's true, the Angels would be the best team in the AL West at the moment. They've only won 2 games. Now they're, 2-3 since they made their managerial switch? 2-6, actually. And I love who they have as their manager now. I do. Known him for a long time. Played against him. I may have had a cocktail or two with Phil Nevin. Lovely, lovely, lovely gentleman. A well-respected guy. A guy that's been in the finalists spot kind of for like 3 different manager jobs. I like him. I dig him. Angels aren't going to win though. He's not going to be heralded as some genius that turned the team around. Now, if the team does turn around, he's absolutely going to be heralded as some genius that turned the Angels around. But come on. The Angels aren't going to be turned around that much. I know they got Trout, Ohtani, and Rendon, but Ohtani can only throw once a week, people. So why am I talking about the Angels ad nauseum at the moment? Well, because they fired their manager, one of the 2 teams. Former manager in Chicago, of course, Joe Maddon, no longer with a job. Same thing. You can make a bigger argument, obviously, in Philly. I mean, team's, 9-0 since firing Joe Girardi? I'm not saying that's the cure-all, okay? I just can't stress that enough. It's not the cure-all firing a manager. It just isn't. Do I think something needs to change? Yes. Do I think firing Tony La Russa is that something? I don't know if it's the something, but it sure as hell is a something. But you heard Parkins the other day talk about it, and he was furious talking about it. I watched the clip. I heard every word out of Parkins' mouth on his show the other day, and I agree with every word out of his mouth. I get you guys are frustrated as fans. I'm frustrated. You kidding me? You think you're frustrated? I have like 19 gambling shows, and I told everybody the White Sox are winning the AL pennant. You think you're frustrated?
I mean, is that really a question? Because it was 1-2?
I'm a borderline genius sitting here, and they're making me look stupid. You're frustrated? Oh, and by the way, yes, it was stupid to intentionally walk in. I in case anyone was wondering... It was stupid. It was very, very stupid. It was not a good move. And it's not even that he made the move. Again, the move was perplexing. It was not a good move. We've talked about it a ton here on 670 The Score. I've talked about it a ton everywhere I could possibly go. It was more just the post-game interview that made me extra mad. I would have liked it if he just said, yeah, made a decision, backfired. It's baseball. Because that actually is the correct answer. That is 100% the correct answer. I wish he said that. But he didn't, and now we're getting Fire Tony chants over on the south side. Sean just informed me we do have Kevin from Palestine. He disagrees. White Sox are an all-star team. Really? Well, based on numbers, I don't know how you disagree. And based on the players, I don't know how you disagree. But go ahead, give me your thoughts. I'd love to hear it, Kevin.
Oh, okay, let's see. The below average WAR third baseman, the below average WAR left fielder, the worst second base platoon in baseball, the horrific hitting and defensive catchers. People love Reese McGuire. He's okay. And then everyone's waiting for Eloy, the negative two WAR player so far this year, to come back. So
far this year, I'll give you the guy who's played 10 games.
Oh, well, he sucked last year, too. So that's fine. Great fake laugh. Bring up his numbers from last year. You picked him to win the pennant.
I'm glad you're getting furious about this, but are you serious? You're literally basing Eloy's numbers on the 10 games he's played and he hasn't been healthy, and you're saying, oh, well, Eloy, negative two last year. Great, last year. I'm sorry you don't like the platoon at second base and a below-average WAR at third base. Look throughout the league. Where are you finding above-average WAR? San Diego, St. Louis. That's about it. What superstars are throughout the league right now that you're talking about?
All over the place. All I'm saying is you're saying they're
an all-star. Name anywhere else.
The Yankees?
Okay.
The Red Sox? The Astros?
The Red Sox have had one of the worst starts in baseball. They've only turned it on lately. Actually, everyone was clamoring for them to fire everyone literally 2 weeks ago. And you're bringing up the Red Sox?
The bad White Sox players any better. Dude, your Nick Swisher starter kit, your Brosif, you sound like a moron. And the Sox...
Get off the air, you clown. I actually did this for a living. You're a guy who watches it. You play slow pitch softball. You're a softball guy. You are a zero.
I can't remain a zero.
Oh my God, the guy at third base isn't good at third base. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a moron. You shouldn't watch baseball or sports. You should get back to your good hobbies. You know, coloring. Moron. Worst platoon in second bit. God, why are you... Seriously, Sean, is everyone this dumb? Or is it just an occasional callers?
I think it's just some upset White Sox fans. They just don't...
With you being upset. I'm upset. But you're going to literally sit here, oh, Eloy's terrible. You think Eloy's bad? You're stupid. Nothing else I can say. You're dumb.
Yeah. He also, it's a negative 0.2 WAR. It's not a negative 2 WAR. Negative 0.2. And like you said,
But I'm stupid. I don't know the difference between a decibel point and not.
Right.
But I'm stupid.
Yeah. We're talking about 11 games. The guy's been hurt. I mean, when he has been healthy, I mean, obviously we know 2019 was incredible. He was still okay in 2020 dealing with injuries. You know, last year, whatever, you know, the 55 games these last two seasons. Let's let the guy get healthy. Maybe he might hit some balls. He seems to do that quite a bit.
I just can't stand the fact that anyone is this stupid. By the way, confusing a negative 2 WAR to a negative 0.2 WAR is the equivalent of saying, yeah, I'm traveling to Egypt.
Oh, wait, I am the smartest man alive!
Oh, that's awesome. Where are you staying in Egypt? Philadelphia. It's not the same thing. It's amazing that you can literally come on the air, call someone stupid, and literally bring up math and just show your own ass. Well done. Guys, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to come right back over here. We still got John Heyman and Russell Dorsey and two more hours of baseball talk and hopefully smarter callers, ladies and gentlemen, right here on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.